Endowment funds are a big, big deal, particularly in the United States. Yale's endowment is over $30 billion. Harvard's is over $40 billion. Our next guest says that the endowment model could actually make some sense for families, too. Vince Annibal is the founder of Wealth Strategies Advisory Group and the Household Endowment Model. He joins us now from Scottsdale, Arizona. Hello there.
Hello there. Thanks for having me.
I don't have 40 billion, maybe like 39 billion, but I don't have 40. So tell me what the household endowment model is and how it works.
So basically what we did is in 2008, 2009, you remember the world was coming to an end, the markets were crashing, the economy was dead, globally everything's falling apart. And I looked at that and I said, we have to find a better way of managing our money for our clients. And that led me to research, which brought me to alternative investments and then took me to David Swensen, who has managed Yale's endowment fund since approximately 1985. And I looked at how he managed the endowment fund and I said, we've got to be able to adopt that type of a model for the merely affluent.
Right, the merely affluent. They might have gone to Yale or Harvard, but they've got millions versus billions.
Correct, exactly right.
One of the principles is to seek exposure to both correlated and uncorrelated asset classes. Okay, so I'm flashing back to my statistics class from business school. What are some examples of uncorrelated or non-correlated asset classes?
You could take a look at a private investment in private equity. If it's a private investment, then the securities are not publicly traded on a daily basis. So it is not going to move in sync with what the stock market listed securities are doing every day.
Another principle is looking for inefficient markets, air quotes around inefficient markets, because that's actually a good thing, not a bad thing, where there is illiquidity. So you're not buying massive bank stocks. What are some examples of inefficient markets and the investments that you might be able to purchase there?
We would be looking at private equity opportunities that are not listed. We would look at private real estate transactions. We can look at private debt transactions. So these are typically referred to as being a Reg D investment. They are not publicly offered and they are not publicly traded. So they are not correlated with the market and they are private.
How do you get access to this stuff? It basically sounds like you're sneaking behind the velvet ropes of the old Viper Room and sitting down and ordering bottle service. Is this available to humans who are not A-list Hollywood celebrities?
Yes, it is. And the secret is you have to find the right advisor. The biggest issue is that over the years, many of the advisors, most advisors out there, are just now starting to learn about alternative investments. They have no idea. And you also have the large major brokerage firms and wirehouses, as they're referred to, and they don't like to do these small $30, $40, $100 million offerings because it's not worth their time or money for their clients, they don't believe. So they have a vested interest in getting the clients to invest in the old 60-40, buy my funds, buy my stocks, transactional, and leave it at that.
How do you think about return? And I know that there's no way one can ever promise a return, but in the traditional equity markets, when you look back over 70 years, you can sort of go, yeah, it's like, you know, over time, 5 to 7%, somewhere around there. With some of these alternative investments that you're talking about, what's the framework? How do you think about return?
Our goal is typically we're going to look for 8 to 12%. We also will look at a little bit riskier allocations or investments for people in developmental type real estate projects or in venture capital. In that case, we're going to look at 16 to 25% returns for that type of an allocation. But we don't go into any one. We build out a totally diversified portfolio of both the alternative investments and also the public investments.
Who is the household endowment model for? Both demographically, like I'm sure there's a threshold in terms of assets at which it makes sense, but also psychographically.
Typically, the endowment model has been received by all demographics as far as age, because we have a lot of people that are retired. that come to us and they want alternative income because bonds and CDs, et cetera, don't pay anything anymore. So they look for alternative sources of income off of, say, real estate. And at the same time, the younger folks are looking at venture capital opportunities or private equity opportunities, which are going to be even higher. Typically, we recommend for our clients have $1 million in investable assets to create a proper endowment model.
One of the other things that would characterize the endowments at Yale or Harvard is that they live in perpetuity. So Yale is never spending it down and taking it to zero, which even in wealthy families, sometimes that is something that they're willing to do, even if to zero means that they're, they're carving it off to charity versus to their kids. Is it required that you have a generational view of money in order to pursue this kind of strategy?
No, it is not. Because we understand that you have an expiration date like that quart of milk you've got at home. But
I have slightly longer expiration date than the quart of milk.
Okay, good. So we look at typically our exposure is going to be 2 to 5 years.
So 2 to 5 years. So the investments might be 2 to 5 years, but this could even be a fit for someone who's got a nest egg, which they will then deplete to put a carton of milk in their fridge and die at age 98 with zero assets.
Well, they usually have what's called a death put, so that if they happen to have the bad judgment to die, as we say, then their beneficiaries are going to be able to come and take over those assets if they choose to come out.
How do you think about volatility? We know every financial advisor has had a conversation like this with their clients where they talk about the ebbs and flow of the markets. Given that this is unfamiliar territory and some of the investments, illiquidity is a pretty big word. How do you counsel those who adhere to this kind of strategy to think about volatility?
Well, we are smoothing out the volatility is what we're doing, because if you think about the non-correlation, if the stock market goes up 20% tomorrow and it goes down 30% the next day, your particular piece of real estate or your real estate investment or your private equity investment is not going up 20% tomorrow and back down 30%. So the volatility is not in a private non-correlated investment.
Interesting. Really interesting stuff, this. Vince, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure. Hey, it's been a gas coming on your show and talking about expiration dates.
Excellent.
On your quart of milk at home.
We're totally nerding out on this stuff. Clearly, I do love the topics we get to cover. Vince Anibal is founder of Wealth Strategies Advisory Group. He's also written a pretty extensive book on the household endowment model. He joins us today from Scottsdale, Arizona.